welcome to another season of The Bike Show. We're here until the end of July, and it's good to be back. Welcome to the first in another season of The Bike Show, going strong since 2004 here on Resonance FM. And as I said, it's been a long break since the end of the last season, which I think was in February. But we are back in the saddle now until the end of the Tour de France, which seems a long, long way away now, with the Giro d'Italia only having started this week. And it's to the Giro that I have to turn right now before we get underway with the show that we've planned, and the awful death of a rider, Walter Wayland, a top rider in professional cycling and a former winner of stages in both the Giro and a Vuelta. A horrible accident on the road today, and it's terribly sad when anyone suffers an untimely death while riding a bike, whether it's racing as a professional or going under the wheels of a lorry, as has been happening with alarming frequency on the streets of London this year. So our thoughts do go to the friends and families left behind. And with that sobering news, it doesn't feel quite right to embark on the rest of the day's show, but we will, and it makes it even more difficult that the subject is something as ephemeral as the life and times of the cycling jersey. But we will be back with that just after this.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they'd die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here see my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good?
Well, I'd like to introduce three guests in the studio today to talk about cycling jerseys. Starting from my right, Richard Mitchelson, who's an illustrator and animator, and also designer of the Bike Show's new logo, which you may see if you look down, if you're listening on the podcast and you look down at your MP3 player, you may see it smiling up at you there.
Hello, Jack.
All right, welcome. Great job on the logo.
Thank you.
I love it.
No, I'm really pleased you like it.
So thanks very much for doing that.
No worries. Thanks.
We may come to that a little bit later in the show, but I want to introduce Luke Skybaler, best known as...
That'll do.
That'll do. Come on, tell us. Give us a definitive one.
Skybaler.
Skybaler.
Skybaler, if you're Dutch.
Skybaler.
Yeah, it's...
Luke Skybaler.
I'm kind of used to people mispronouncing
it. All right, we'll get it wrong.
Just think Skywalker. That's
Skywalker. Skybaler. Right. Well, you are best known to the world as one of the founders and the creative director, former creative director and founder of Rafa, who, as a clothing company selling stuff to cyclists, have, I think it's fair to say, transformed the cycling jersey, as it is known these days. And
well,
it's going to be great to hear what you think about the past, present and future of the jersey.
Well, I look forward to telling you, Jack.
and finally, in our lineup here, Camille McMillan, photographer, whose book Le Métier with Michael Barry, the names are escaping me, and Michael Barry, the Team Sky rider, collaborated with Camille on a book. Michael did the excellent writing. Camille did the superb photographs.
Oh, you're very
and
kind.
You will have also seen Camille's photos in Rouleur magazine and also in on the Sky Team website. You did some stuff for them recently. Yeah. So you're someone who has to spot these jerseys in a peloton going past while you're on the back of a motorbike and to get your man. So presumably you just want really bright, distinctive jerseys. make your job easier to at least find who you're trying to take a photograph of.
Well, I don't know if that works. If they're all bright, then if there's a matte one in there, that would probably stand out more. So it's...
So it's about being distinctive. All right, well, Luke, when you started Rafa, you must have done a lot of thinking about cycling jerseys. Tell us about that.
Well, I guess we did. We did and we didn't. You know, I mean, the whole point of Rafa really was to really give cycling some self-respect and make it cool, to be honest. The problem with a lot of the jerseys, I guess, from that sort of... because we started Rafa in like the early 2000s. So, you know, the 90s was the kind of peak of that kind of neon, screaming, kind of brightly coloured sort of exuberance. And we just wanted to do something that was completely the opposite of that and try to make it understated and simple. And, I mean, people call it retro, but we didn't really set out to do something retro. We set out to do something simple and classic.
I mean, well, classic almost is retro in a sense, because there's something that you're referring back to. And should we step a little back in time?
Yeah.
So we've got some screaming neon on the studio, which I think we'll come to in a little while. But let's go back to the early days of the Tour de France. I mean, the Tour de France did begin as the most famous bicycle race, as essentially an advertising act. And the organiser, Henri de Grange, was a man familiar with the tricks of the trade, and he very quickly decided that the jersey was going to be an important thing. It wasn't just about, you know, the race. And the first act of that was to say that whoever was leading the race at a given moment would wear a particular yellow jersey that was yellow, the colour of the pages of the newspaper Lotto, which was sponsoring and organising the tour. So that sort of link already began at that earliest moment.
I mean, it's always been commercial, and, you know, whether it's the Giro, the pink jersey in the Giro, or the yellow jersey in the Tour de France, or even the polka dot jersey, which was, I think, originally the inside wrapping of a chocolate bar. So, you know, I'm not sure how that relates to the climbing, but...
Well, you want a bar of chocolate at the top,
yeah,
don't
I suppose you do. But I think there's always been that degree of commerciality, and what we tried to do at Rafa very early on was try to understand those commercial graphics. This really comes from like sort of European, French and Italian sort of supermarket graphics and kind of, you know, tiling firms and kind of construction firms. It's not very sophisticated typography, really. And so what we wanted to do was, and that's where the Rafa kind of signature came from, you know, those old classic post-war you know, modern sort of commercial graphics. And we just tried to simplify things down because during the 90s, you know, the ability to print whatever you wanted came through. So, you know, you get stuff like the Mapei jersey and all that sort of like highly kind of technical, very colourful stuff. And basically, it was a question of saying, well, we do what we want to do rather than what we can do with the technology. So
there's a link between technology, on the one hand, what you can make a jersey from and how you can colour it and paint it, and also the reasons for having a jersey. Because I guess in the early days of the Tour de France, the teams were country teams rather than trade teams, weren't they?
There's a mixture of both.
Mm. I mean, clearly, the trade team is going to want to promote whatever it is, whether it's Hutchinson pneumatic tyres or Peugeot bicycles or whatever.
Exactly, and I think the thing is that the kind of elegant simplicity of those jerseys, you know, you're wearing a cyclist touring club jersey and in a, you know, it's made of wool, it's got sort of machine stitched but very sort of hand operated machine stitched lettering on the front of it, and it's very simple, very very simple, very plain design, because the technology won't allow you to do much more than that. And there's the Multani jersey and the Famer jersey that Eddie Merckx made very famous. Those sorts of things were effectively handmade.
So, Richard, what are your favourites from the classic era of cycling that is what we now call retro?
I guess, like Luke said, you know, the Multani jersey is the first one that really springs to mind. It's the classic. But as I've thought about today, you know, you think about that jersey, but do you automatically think of anybody else other than Merckx? It's tricky to think the jersey and not the legend.
And what were Multani selling? Sausages or something, weren't they?
Meat of some description.
It's a meat slicing machines, or was it meat product? I don't know.
But probably not very high quality, sort of really pretty low-grade mortadella.
Yeah. You never want to know what it is. I like the romance of, like, not knowing. It's like that thing, meeting your heroes.
Exactly.
You don't want to know what your trade team, what the trade is that you're wearing.
The classic is Fassa Bortolo, which was, you know, relatively recent team, but, you know, a beautiful Italian sounding name, but also, you know, ultimately when you found out that they were a cement and aggregates firm.
Exactly. That makes my Fassa Bortolo headband come into a whole different light.
It
there.
Does suit you though, James.
I'm not wearing it now, although in fact, in colour terms, it does kind of go with the cyclist touring club jersey. Which?
That looks very hot to your wool jersey.
Well, you know.
He's suffering for his art. Yes.
Suffering for the art. Yeah, but so no one's mentioned the Peugeot jersey of the white jersey with the black checks, which was a great design, and I think it's popular everywhere, but particularly in the UK for, I guess, to talk about it on a day like today is even harder. The associations with Tom Simpson and his end on the Mont Ventoux while racing.
Well, I think any jersey that, you know, somebody dies in, basically, on the road, is going to become iconic for, in many ways, the wrong reasons. But I think that does go back to, and surely the leopard jersey is possibly going to do that because of today's horrible crash. But I think it goes back to Rich's point about it's often the associations with the jersey and the events that happen that are kind of, you know, that you grow up with, and you see riders on climbs, you see riders suffering.
I think it's the thing with cycling is that I've heard people say in the past that people don't follow teams that much in cycling because teams will come and go. You know, you don't get a Manchester United that's been there for hundreds of years, but you have a rider, and then that rider becomes the thing that you follow. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe.
As a kid, I was sort of like, everyone else was into Ipswich Football Club, whatever they're called, and I was into TI Rally because it was sort of late 70s. And
but is TI Rally still here? I'm not sure.
I think that's actually the problem. And this is sort of, we're sort of jumping down slightly almost. But I think the problem is that you don't have those enduring teams. You know, the team and the brand dies with the sponsor.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it does. Sorry. It doesn't. It moves on because the sponsors change, but the directors of that team are still there.
But if you look
at the structures of the team are still there, and that team carries on, but the jerseys change and the sponsors change.
But if you look at a kind of enduring kind of brands such as Bianchi within the sport, you know, from Coppi all the way through to Ulrich, and that, you know, Bianchi is the one name that people who aren't cyclists know as a kind of classic Italian bike brand. Mm. You know, if you take someone that's, oh yeah, I want a Bianchi. What about Bianchi? So I think that if there's a way in which, and I think, you know, Jack, you and I were talking about this a couple of days ago about the slipstream use of the Argyle and trying to break out of being a sponsor dominated team, and Leopard, I think, also is another example of that, where they're choosing a name for the team that potentially sponsors will come in and out of. Mm. That hopefully will enable the sport to have a sort of more enduring.
Does that give us a clue about where teams are looking for their money, basically? Rather than a big name sponsor, they're looking for fans and some kind of merchandising. I mean, we hear about bands no longer making so much money off recorded music and having to go on the road all the time and sell t-shirts and all the rest of the paraphernalia that goes with the band. And, you know, is that going to be the way with
I think you're talking the future there. I think, yeah, definitely, yeah.
I like to be talking the future. Well, we've got loads of jerseys here. I've got some in my bag here, but do you want to have a whistle stop tour through some of these?
Oh, do you want to start on Montaigne?
All right, so we've got Luke's holding up. Luke is modelling. Is that an original repro?
It's a repro.
It's a very nice repro. Woolistic looks like
it. It's a Woolistic one, yeah.
Woolistic repro of the Molteni. It's a sort of weird colour. It's a colour that I don't think existed before they made that colour, which is probably a good thing.
Well, it's half brown, half orange. It's kind of like...
meat.
Burnt orange.
it's a burnt orange, yeah, definitely. With a navy so dark, it's almost black.
Oh, really? Is that navy? I thought that was black.
No, it's a navy.
Fascinating.
Which, obviously, if you know your tailoring, looks darker than black, so which is why all the... Right. Smartest suits are made in very, very dark blue.
So that's a winner. That's simple. Just one bar across and the nice text.
Although there's the world champion.
Go on, talk us through it.
Yeah, you've got the world champion stripes on the collar and on the sleeves. Arcore. I never know how to pronounce that, but just very simple, kind of like I said with your jersey. You know, machine stitch lettering. Slightly badly spaced for authenticity. And, you know, these jerseys were, you know, made of lovely quality of Merino wool. In fact, the team leader's always got a higher grade of Merino than the rest of the team. So they got their own bespoke.
The domestiques will not only have to just stuff their jerseys with water bottles, but they're actually going to be scratchy jerseys that they were stuffing as well.
Precisely, they get a higher, finer grade of Merino. But all these jerseys, you know, sag hideously when they get wet and they kind of turn into sort of dresses, basically. Right?
So, Richard, what have you got there?
I got the Famer jersey in the famous red and white with Famer across the middle.
So that's basically the Marlborough Lights Marlborough sort of chevrony top triangular inverted triangle there with white.
Marlborough?
I don't know. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. So that's and who? What do you like about that?
I like it because it's very simple, and I think that follows, you know, I like simple, stylish jerseys. That is kind of my, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always try to follow. But at the same time, I also like it because it's, well, I just happened to pick it up just now. So I don't really have much love for this jersey.
I'm right back at you with sort of the next stage on from the Famer one, which is the Brooklyn.
That's horrible.
Sure, which is also taking that sort of inverted triangle chevron type of thing with a bunch of it's a sort of star-spangled banner of a bicycle shirt.
Somebody said, didn't they? Captain America.
Yeah, it's Captain America. Yeah.
But you know, the sight of Roger De Vlaeminck wearing this floating over the cobbles. I mean, again, is it the rider or is it the shirt?
I think he'd look amazing in any shirt, you know?
Yeah, because that's horrible.
It is. It's also a rather nasty grade of acrylic, which is...
Well, my version is.
I bet it smells even though he washed it, from
the era, you know, basically they moved on from wool to acrylic because it was cheaper, and that was when it got really horrible. They stank, and it's just the most horrible material. Basically, these guys suffered...
Smells lovely in here.
They suffered not only on the cobbles, but with the jerseys they had
to wear. All right, so let's move through the... That was a 70s one. Let's move through into the 80s. What have you got? Okay. Or even into the 90s.
Well, into the 90s, this is where it starts getting quite...
Luke, come close to the microphone, otherwise we can't hear you.
Yeah, this are is you where saving the mape for later on? piece de resistance.
But, well, in the 90s, things got a bit mental, and it started getting all sort of slightly postmodern with stuff like Carrera jeans.
I like that.
Denim style.
That's
kind of
nice, what it looks stitching. Mm.
Yeah, which...
See, that's interesting, because then you automatically know what the sponsor is about. So then we lose what we were talking about earlier about, is not really knowing what the sponsor is about, because automatically you see Marco Pantani in a pair of jean shorts.
Which yeah, exactly. And yeah, but it is horrific, though, isn't it? I mean, let's face it.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's the Rimini look, isn't it?
That's right.
Again, I guess the Castorama is a jersey that people come back to as being potentially the most embarrassing. You know,
Let's have a look at that one.
Castorama is effectively they're a sort of building materials firm and sort of like DIY stuff. So yeah. it's basically a set of overalls.
Oh, it's supposed to look like an overall.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
God. Oh, well, when we've
Laurent Fignon wore overalls. Oh, convict of the road. And
one we've missed, which was a big hit on the Twitter discussion that preceded the show in the last 6 or 7 hours on the Twitter, is La Vie Claire, kind of Mondrian inspired shirt made famous by
Eno,
really,
yeah. and
Le Monde in that last gasp of French supremacy at the top of cycling sport, and that is something that I think amongst all the people who were on the Twitter, that is the top pick. Interesting, and then no one seemed to dissent from that. So that La Vie Claire, which was an interesting thing, because it was the first time I think that it was Nivea, wasn't it? They were the first brand to come in and just sponsor a team that had nothing to do with cycling.
That's right.
But I think
we've talked about in the last Roulette, actually, about Nivea. Yeah.
So let's move on to the Marmite of cycling jerseys, which is
not the Marmite jersey.
Which is not the Marmite jersey. We'll come to that in a minute if we've got time. But the Mapei one, the Sweeties, the Technicolor brainstorm of some Italian designer.
Well, they're an Italian tiling firm, basically.
And, yeah,
that's what they do, and. I think there's a picture somewhere of like the bag of tiling grouting stuff that they use.
I'm not even sure that they make tiling. I think they might just make the adhesive and the grouting.
Maybe it's just the grouting.
It's
grouting glue stuff. Yeah, anyway, it's not particularly glamorous, but sort of through accident as opposed to design, really, they've decided to really go for the colourful part of the corporate identity. And I think it's an absolute classic. I love this jersey. I mean, it's so ridiculously over the top.
It's at a time when cycling was, in terms of doping, at its most juiced up. Everybody was on everything, and probably that team in particular. And the jersey just reflected that fact, which is a sort of nice, art imitating life.
The designers were on drugs as well.
I'm saying the designers, the riders, the team management, the whole lot.
it's endemic. I think that's a really interesting post-rationalisation. But I think
there's designers involved with that? I think that was just back of a fag packet.
I mean, it's just luck in some ways, isn't it? It's basically wherever a kind of ridiculous corporate identity collides with the cycling team, you're going to get a ridiculous cycling kit.
We're rushing up towards the hour, which is, I told you time would fly.
It really has.
Let's look aside from the professional stuff and a few sort of leisure-oriented ones. I've got one of these. I think it's the Fosca who come out with these ones? It's the London A to Z one, which I quite like riding because it's got the street where I live on it. And so when I'm touring in some far-flung part of the world, I can say, I live here, round about where my navel is. But any others sort of from this era that you particularly like, Richard?
Well, the ones I've designed.
Yeah, tell us about them.
I think they're cracking. But then Luke may hate them.
Tell us about
I designed a couple for Miltag, which I think it looked great.
Yeah, because Miltag is like Fosca, sort of
I don't like to associate them with Fosca. I like to think that they approach talented illustrators and then sort of let them loose on a brief, which is usually a lot of fun. And then people can buy them, well, if they like them. And I think they, the nature of illustration and design is that some people are bound to not like them. So I'm really pleased with the two that I've done now. Recently done one inspired by Chris Hoy, and there's a GB Legends series just coming out now. So check them out, I guess, is the plug that the people at Miltag will want me to say.
All right, we'll put a link. Luke, anything you like out there?
I think the stuff that I've seen has been that I do like recently has been the stuff that's been going against the grain, and there's a lot of you know, whether it's influenced by Rafa or whatever, I think it's, yeah, there's a movement away from complex, busy jerseys to simpler jerseys. And I think in the pro peloton, you know, I'm not going to slate the leopard jersey obviously today because it would be a completely wrong day to do so. But a lot of the jerseys are becoming very similar at the moment. And I've seen some kit recently which has totally moved away from that, which is the Vicious Velo kit, which is a local, small, kind of London-based team.
Yeah, it's cracking.
And it's totally exuberant, over the top, against all this kind of sort of semi-minimalist kind of simplicity. And it's kind of inspired by punk, and the stuff looks fantastic. I think it's just a brilliant kit. It's the best I've seen for ages.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's brilliant.
Camille, what do you like to take photographs of in the cycling jersey world? What are you going to be wanting to take photographs of in the next 5 years?
I want to see jerseys that are made out of 3M material. So when all the proper press photographers take a picture, it just sort of burns out, so it just becomes this bright white sort of thing. But I think there should be sort of like technology where the actual leader on the road in the Tour or in the Giro, the jersey actually changes colour. So there's bring more technology into it. A bit like those Ravers shirts that used to change colour when you got sweaty. But this is to do with where you are on the road.
Yeah, nice.
So if you're sort of like going into yellow, your jersey suddenly goes yellow.
Amazing.
That would be nice.
Interactive.
That's my
jerseys.
Vision of the future.
Right. Well, thanks, gents, for coming and sharing your thoughts on cycling jersey. The time has gone very quickly. Next up is One Life Left. We'll be back again next week, I think, with a rolling interview with Jenny Jones, who's standing for the Green Party to be Mayor of London. Until next week, ride safely.
Just a beginner, get yourself a whopper. You got to get a real hard stopper. If you fish every day, you're bound to get a bite. Wrap my wedding finger around your golden trigger.